Zach Lobdell is a painter from Saratoga. We've known each other since we were both teenagers, and I've followed his career for years on social media and seen his beautiful, complex paintings. In the last few months, I've noticed the style of his work has dramatically changed, and at the same time, I've seen him reference a lot of professional success. I stopped by his studio, a garage space in a cornfield in Gansvoort, to talk to him about his work. Inside, every wall in the studio is hung with huge, bright canvases that are filled with motion and symbols and energy. They seem to reference graffiti art, Keith Haring, and Basquiat, more I'm sure that my inexpert eye can't catch. My 5-year-old son came too, and you will hear that he had some questions of his own.
I had no intention of going into this kind of style. There was no premeditation to it. I got here and I had like no paint left. I opened up the box and I had like a couple rusty cans of spray paint. And I just started going crazy on a huge canvas. And the next thing I know, like, people are going nuts for the stuff I'm doing, but none of them are just spray paint.
Because the ones you did years ago were like very sort of more somber and, right?
I was doing a lot of stuff like very much nature influenced, but very abstract stuff for a lot of years where I didn't want any reference to anything, you know, at all. And I had like this total need to not do anything representational, and I made so many rules for myself. I didn't even use brushes. I was using like a 3-foot floor squeegee, you know, specifically. And so I don't know, you know, with everything that happened the past year, I cracked something open, and I was looking back at stuff like a month into it, and thinking, oh, it's the '80s, like that piece over there. It's called Boombox.
You know? Yeah, there's Keith Haring and stuff comes to mind, and like stuff like that.
It's like the '80s, you know. Definitely. And I'm like, oh, you know, and I'm like thinking to myself, like, why would I be? And then it made me think of Zoe and like,
who's Zoe? Know,
my big sister. And Zoe, when I was growing up, always the biggest influence in my life because she was my big sister. Like all the music, all the things that I was exposed to were through her. After a certain point, you know, your parents show you some things, and then it's your older siblings. You didn't have older siblings, so you don't know. But but you know, and I didn't, looking back, and I'm like, wow, maybe this is all just like some part of this process of letting this stuff out, you know. And then I started doing all these weird little symbols and stuff, which was just like, you know, I had no idea what anything meant or anything. It was just like a way for me to put different marks in different places and move color around, you know. And Zoe was obsessed with little symbols. And I'm not even thinking about any of this. And then like a month into it, somebody's like, what does all this mean? I'm like, I don't know. And so I start researching what all these symbols mean. And there's like multicultural runes and symbols that actually have very specific meanings that I'm using over and over again. And they mean like exactly what people are telling me the paintings are telling them.
Like what?
Like this thing right here. Like this is like a Nordic rune that, you know, it's like some Viking symbol that means like dawn, new awakening, like rebirth, and it can't be broken, it can't be turned, it can't be changed. The three vertical lines that I put over and over again are, I can't remember, it's like a Hindu symbol, and it means like, you know, knowledge, power of self, like all these things that people kept saying, like, oh, these are like the new beginning, they're so positive, they're full of energy, and they just kept meaning all these things. One of my buddies who's known me forever, and he's like, you used to get like little pieces of you, and he's like, you're letting all of you out at once. It's like all the different parts are coming out.
Wow.
Now I'm doing all these giant pieces only, and I'm doing them each in one sitting.
Next, I asked him what it means to actually make a living as an artist.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm very fortunate that that's the case right now, and it definitely has not always been that way, and my work's selling for a good amount of money, and I also, you know, just put a lot into making this place happen. It's always kind of teetering on failure at any moment, because no matter how many paintings I sell, it's not sure when anything else is going to happen. But
it's not like you go along and then all of a sudden, like, now you're making a living off painting, and then that's it, you're set. It's kind of a thing where
there's
kind of
security,
you're going up and down
and
back and forth.
A lot of people would never do this, and they're logical in that. You know, because it's like to say it's my sole source of income takes a lot to get there, and it's a small margin, and it is never consistent or.
Yeah. Well, if you're dealing with that kind of precarity, how do you balance feeling like you have to paint the things that are going to put food on the table versus what inspires you.
You know, I spent a lot of years in that battle, you know, 20 years in that battle of thinking about what to paint and what people might like, and trying not to think about what people might like and not think about what to paint and just be honest and paint. And it's a very slippery slope. You know, as soon as you start trying to please anybody besides your own artistic inclination, I think part of what happened is I stopped really caring this past year about anything. Like, I just let go. I stopped thinking about, oh, where's somebody going to fit this in their house? Oh, who's going to buy some crazy graffiti stuff? Oh, anything. And it was like me letting go of all of that and saying no to some things and stopped and just like let go. And then it just exploded into these. And since that happened, I've gotten more attention for my work than ever before. I've gotten representation in Singapore. I won a national call for a gallery in Chelsea, and I was represented for a month with them. And you're here right now. I've sold one of the new pieces, and they're...
Yeah, how does that happen?
You know, I have to say that, like, Instagram has been the key to my life pretty much at this point.
Yeah.
How many Uji layers do you do?
Depends on the painting, buddy. Sometimes it's just one. Sometimes I just bang it right out, and that's it.
How do you know when it's done?
You know, I mean, sometimes it just... I'm like, ooh, that's done. And sometimes I don't know if it's done, and I'm upset. And sometimes it's done, and I don't even like it until I get home. And then I'm like, wow, I really like that when I look at it again. Sometimes...
Yeah, do you ever, like, you think it's getting good, and you keep going, and then you just, like, totally... screwed it up, and
that just means I have to keep going again.
Yeah. You
know, to me, that's just like I'm climbing a mountain and I haven't gotten
to
the top.
That purple one.
That's just like two layers, really. But you know, like when you're hiking, you get to that weird spot where you think it's right up here, and then no, that was just like some little nub, and then you got to keep hiking, you know. So,
what about COVID and stuff? Did that? You could still work, but it probably you couldn't show anything. I guess you had
no. I wasn't showing Instagram anything. I wasn't selling anything. I wasn't, at least not for a while. And then all of a sudden, I think it got to be like September, and I think something to do with all the people being locked in their houses for a long time, looking at their crappy walls and being like, I got like 4 calls in a week suddenly after nothing for a year.
What's the biggest painting you made here?
That's a really good question. I think this one is the biggest one I've made here.
It's really big.
This one is 103 inches by 118 when it's stretched. So that's big. That's like 10 feet wide by 9.
How about this one?
That one is very, that's a good one. That's
big. Close, yeah.
That's also real big. That's 110 inches tall, I think.
How about this one?
Yep, that one's big too.
Did you ever have one that you like couldn't bear to sell, even if somebody wanted it?
Some of the portraits that are like family oriented stuff like that, I would never try to sell.
But in general, you don't get super sentimental about them in that way.
I think I used to. I think that after a while, it's I think I sold my first painting for $2,500 when I was in like I think it was 2005 or 2000.
Oh, you were just talking about the first painting you sold for...
Oh, yeah. So I sold a painting for $2,500. It was like 2000... I think it was 2006. And, it was like... I got that much money for a piece of art that I did, and I was like, holy crap, this could work. Little did I know what I was trying to get myself into. But, I think at that point, I realized that when that painting was up on the wall, that I would never be able to give all of my paintings beautiful walls to hang on them. And that no matter where they are, they're mine. You can give me a whole mess of money and you can put it on your wall and you can say you own it and it's got my name on it. I painted it. It's mine.
Zach's work can be found at Instagram at Zach Lobdell, ZACKLOBDELL. Reporting for Hudson Mohawk Magazine, this is Moses Nagel.